went to work for the Rock Island when I was 17. And when I got out of high school, I was 17. And I got a job in the storeroom at Biddle. And what we were doing was scrapping old boxcars. They'd burn the wood off of them, and we'd go in and take the frame, and they had to be a certain length, and we'd have a cutting torch. We'd cut it, and then the center seal, we'd bust the rivet heads, and they wanted the center seal left open. Well, I worked that job all summer, and I don't know, I got cut off. And in June of the next year, that was in 1951, in 1952, well, I got a chance to go to breaking. And I went to breaking. It was June the 17th of 1952.
Was that like an entry-level position?
No.
No?
You had to make so many student trips, which that just confused you more than anything else. But back then, you made as much money as man had been there, a brakeman had been there for 50 years. Hmm. Nowadays, they don't. New hires come in at 70%. But I got forced assigned down to Malvern, and I worked down at Malvern, oh, I guess about a year. And I finally got enough seniority where I could come back to Biddle, which is Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And I worked extra board there, and then I worked down at Malvern quite a bit. We had a job that left Little Rock and went to Malvern and tied up and then come back the next day. And we had the Missouri Pacific give us a pass. We got down there in time. We could ride the passenger train, come home, and then catch the Missouri Pacific passenger train the next day about noon, and we went to work down there, I think, at 3 o'clock. And we'd go back and do that. But when I worked at Malvern, when I got forced assigned, when I first went to work, we stayed on the caboose. And there wasn't this driving back and forth like they do now. But we slept on the caboose.
How many people could sleep in a caboose?
Well, there was room for six.
Hmm. Were there extra bunks or something?
Yeah, they had the... Well, what we do, you put your bunk up in the deal and you push it up and close it. And then when you got ready to go, you take your mattresses out and make your bunk down below. And that was where we had fans. No electricity, you know. And they had a little building down there at Malvern that they used to service the engines. And we had old water hose, big old thick rubber water hose. And we fixed that thing overboard and go in there and take a shower. It was cold, but, you know, take a shower. We didn't do any cooking on the caboose down there on that particular job. But I think I got by all my eating for about $12 a week. And then on the weekend, I'd catch a train. We was off on Sunday. And we'd catch a train Saturday night, and we would have to catch the train back on Sunday night to get back down there to go to work the next morning. So you might say, I never really had any nights in Little Rock to go out and have any fun or anything. And down at Malvern, there wasn't anything to do.
Yeah.
Nothing. Had a movie. And then after that, I worked down there on that local to Malvern. Then I worked the local from out of Malvern to Camden and back. That was 16 hours.
And what kind of braking? I mean, how did the brakemen do the job at that time?
Well, the switching.
Uh-huh.
You did all the switching. Like,
uh-huh.
It, like a switchman out on the road. I mean, you had to switch at Malvern, and there were a lot of industries down there, and we had to service all those industries. They had about three lumber mills, and they had Magnet Cove had their where they made their finishing product was bayrite that they use in oil drilling. They put it down into mud, And that was a pretty big operation. We'd switch those.
Just picking up and dropping off cars?
Well, in town, we'd have to furnish them empties. We'd give them, set them up with empties in the morning. And sometimes at noon, we'd have to get the loads out and put more empties in. And then the last thing we'd do was set them up for the next morning. And then they had a plant over at Butterfield that went up to their mine. And they had little short cars that they used for that Bayrite. And you went up from Butterfield, it went up to Magnet Cove, and National Lead had a place up there. It was farther on up, but it was up on top of a mountain. And but the Magnet Cove, well, we'd go over, and they had a shaft, and they had a deal that the people would ride down in that thing to a certain level, and then that's what they'd load the stuff in. We'd spot the cars, and they had a deal that come up, and that thing would dump. And they would make arrangements for their own, let their cars down theirself. It was on the side of a hill. Sometimes they couldn't get them stopped. They run through a switch. But normally, well, we'd go up there and take the empties up, and we'd stop and get all the empties and get them shoved by and all that and pull them down one track and then drag the empties up in another and run around them, shove them back. And then they'd carry the ore over to Malvern. And the night job did that. I had two jobs down there. The night job did that, took care of the ore. You'd have to spot the raw ore. They had two tracks where they dumped it, and they had a conveyor that would take the ore in. And they'd do that. The day job that I was on, we'd go to National Lead. They had the same stuff up there, but they trucked, they had big old ute. Those Euclids, and they'd run those big old trucks back up in there. Well, their mine was horizontal. Magnet Cove was down, and that thing at Magnet Cove would pump water 24 hours a day out of that thing. But we would do that, and then when we'd leave there, you had to make sure that all the brakes were working because you were on the side of a mountain. Brakes wasn't working, well, you'd have a runaway. And then you'd go down that mountain, and then it'd level off, and then coming into Butterfield, well, it was downhill.
Mm-hmm. So how were you checking brakes then, just with the gauges?
No, we'd check. What we would do, we'd pump the air up to the level at like 90 pounds, mm-hmm. what they use. On the freight, they used about 80. But 90 pounds, and then we'd set the brakes, and then we'd walk the train and look at the brake shoes and see the pistons to make sure they were working. That's how we checked them. The brake shoes up against the wheels.
Right.
And sometimes some of them wouldn't work. The little cars were real bad. They might be working one time and the next time they wouldn't. They had a different type brake than the regular boxcar. But we'd check them at National Lead too. Because you had to have them, because once you left there, it was pretty good grade. And when you got down to Bottom Hill, there was a curve. Mm. And I've made some pretty fast runs down through there. And then at Butterfield, why, it's pretty good grade coming into Butterfield. And then when you had to get stopped because your switch was on the main line of the Rock Island. You come out and you run through that switch while you had problems. And I worked down there quite a bit.
Yeah, I think LT mentioned that it was especially there, Butterfield, because of the passenger trains.
Yeah.
There was a big concern about protecting the main line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, down from Little Rock to Hot Springs, there wasn't any block signals. And when you went to Flag, you had to go back far enough to set those torpedoes down. And then walk back, and then you've still got you about a mile before you got to your train, and stand there and flag. I've had to do that usually on those locals. So after that passenger train, when I went to work, it was just a matter of months they pulled it off. I never did work on that end of it. I worked on the passenger train on the main line.